From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. It's Tuesday, September 6th. Here are today's headlines.
The Vermont Arts Council has awarded 16 grants to improve the physical infrastructure of historic cultural facilities throughout the state. The more than $300,000 in funding will be used to improve air ventilation systems, to help purchase new furnaces, and to install lifts to provide greater access to buildings. Karen Middleman is executive director of the Vermont Arts Council.
The importance of art and creativity in our communities has never been clearer. The pandemic really made us all so aware of how important arts and culture are to us.
The grant program is part of a legislative initiative to preserve and enhance historic community facilities.
New Englanders will see their electric bills go up this fall, but in Vermont, regulators say costs might not climb as high compared to our neighboring states. Jake Marin is with the Public Utility Commission. He says that's due in part to policies that push Vermont utilities to sign multi-year contracts with non-fossil fuel-based power providers, like Hydro-Quebec.
Any kind of planning decision you make that isn't focused on markets is going to insulate you from market fluctuations.
Right now, natural gas prices are spiking, which is driving up electricity prices on the regional marketplace. Vermont does get some power from that market, which could translate to modest rate increases. Marin says the price of power from renewables tends to be more stable than that of fossil fuels.
Casella is abandoning its acquisition of Grow Compost's facility in Moortown. Rutland-based Casella Waste Systems is a multi-billion dollar company that owns Vermont's only landfill. Last fall, they bought Grow Compost, a small business in central Vermont. The company said the deal would allow them to better comply with Vermont's universal recycling law, which banned food scraps from landfills starting in July 2020. But VT Digger reports Casella won't go through with buying Grow's composting facility. That's because Casella would need to make expensive improvements to the property in order to meet permitting requirements, dealing with leachate, for example. Casella is still collecting compost at Grow's Moortown location.
Payments from the state's primary business incentive program declined in 2020, according to newly released state data. That year, the Vermont Employment Growth Incentive, or VEGI, program paid out a total of $2.5 million to companies, down about $200,000 from the year before. Businesses that qualify for the program earn state money if they prove that they created new jobs or made capital investments. In 2020, the economic activity generated by participants the program dropped significantly. The value of payrolls and investments reported by companies were about half of what they were in 2019, and fewer companies submitted claims for VEGI payments. Pandemic disruptions may have played a role in that decline. 2020 was also a year when companies claimed much larger sums of government cash from pandemic initiatives like the Federal Paycheck Protection Program.
Coming up, what'll the state do with all its opioid settlement money? More after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to VITA for their support. VITA, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit VEDA.org to start your next chapter.
Vermont's in line to receive more than $100 million from settlements with several opioid companies, and even more money is likely on the way. Over the past 4 years, the state has been involved in a handful of lawsuits and investigations into pharmaceutical companies for their alleged roles in the opioid crisis.
Now, as the money starts to come into Vermont, the state faces a new question. What should it do with those funds? Our colleague Liam Elder Connors has been looking into this issue, and he joins us now. Hey, Liam.
Hi, Henry and Anna.
So, Liam, first, can you break down where exactly this $100 million is coming from?
Since 2018, the Attorney General's office has been pursuing opioid litigation, starting with Purdue Pharma, the makers of OxyContin. The AG's office also sued the Sackler family, who are the owners of Purdue Pharma, as well as several distributors of opioids. The Vermont AG's office is also part of this big multi-state investigation of a bunch of different attorneys general who are using the powers of their office, like subpoena powers, to gather documents from other companies associated with the opioid industry to look at potentially getting settlements from those companies without having to file litigation. And broadly, these investigations and lawsuits are around allegations of aggressive and deceptive marketing of opioid drugs and alleging that those tactics exacerbated the current drug crisis that we're in. So far, the totals from those settlements and investigations is just over $100 million, though the settlement with Purdue Pharma is still a little up in the air due to an appeal that is facing in a U.S. circuit court right now.
So $100 million, that's already a lot of money. Is Vermont in line to get any more?
Yeah, actually, there is probably millions more coming. There was recently national settlements with four opioid makers that totaled $8.5 billion. And that still needs to get kind of broken up to see who gets how much from that. Deputy Attorney General Joshua Diamond says there's a formula for doing that.
Population of a state, the number of opioid deaths on a pro rata basis, those who have been diagnosed with opioid use disorder. Those are the type of factors that go into the allocation.
And then, of course, there's still this national investigation coalition that could yield more settlements. Diamond, though, declined to comment on that, citing ongoing investigations there.
Okay. And so what's the state going to do with all the settlement money?
Well, the short answer is we don't know yet. We need to figure that out. But broadly, we do know that the money is going to be going to bolster treatment and prevention of opioid use disorder. Money is actually tied to that in the settlements. And Diamond from the AG's office explained there are kind of three buckets that the money is going to be going in. The state is going to be getting some money directly. There are municipalities that are getting some money, and those are smaller amounts for those two buckets. But then the biggest amount is just going to be in this larger abatement fund that the state is going to have, which is going to be used for funding various treatment and prevention programs. We don't know what those are going to be yet. The legislature will ultimately decide, but there's an advisory committee that just started meeting that's going to help make some recommendations. State Senator Ruth Hardy is on that committee.
I want to make sure that what we're doing is evidence-based and also that it is with a lens and a practice of harm reduction, that we're not funding programs that make people feel bad or shame or are ineffective.
Other ideas I've heard, expanding needle exchange programs, improving distribution of overdose-reversing drugs. I also talked to someone who runs a recovery center and said she'd like to see some funds go to her organization and others like hers to bolster staff pay and, you know, be able to give them health benefits and things like that.
Okay, so that's the abatement fund, right? What about the other buckets of money that are going to the state and to municipalities?
Well, again, they're still figuring out what they're going to do with those. So again, the short answer is we're not entirely sure. But there are 69 municipalities in Vermont, plus 12 of the 14 counties that will be getting some money. And in the state's chunk of money, some of that is actually going to be going to pay for legal fees. The state hired a third-party law firm to help with all this opioid litigation, and they're going to be getting a cut, probably a pretty sizable chunk, because their fee is based on a percentage of the total settlements.
And so even though this is a lot of money, the opioid crisis is a massive and long-standing problem. Is this in any way enough to make any kind of difference in addressing the crisis?
Well, if you're looking just purely at money, might be hard to say right now. The state spent $70 million on treatment programs between 2012 and 2017. And while the settlements we're talking about are pretty big, they're going to be broken up into annual payments spread out over a decade to, almost two decades. So some of those really big ones, we're really only going to be seeing about almost $3 million a year out of some of the largest settlements. All of those, of course, can add up, and so there'll be millions of dollars every year for this. But it's not like we're getting one lump sum payment of $100 million. Though folks I talked to say that the money is still could be really helpful, especially if the state invests in harm reduction measures that could be preventing overdose deaths. We're in a bit of a crisis right now. We're seeing a lot more overdose deaths since the start of the pandemic. In fact, over the last decade, 1,100 Vermonters have died from overdoses, and recent years have been the deadliest on record.
All right, that's our colleague Liam Elder Connors. Liam, thanks.
You're welcome.
And thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Abigail Giles and Bob Kinzel.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.